Meeting will please come to order. This is the Planning Commission. Meeting held on Thursday, March 26th at approximately 7:05. This is a time for a public comment. There is nobody here for public comment, so we'll bypass that. Public hearing has been set up, and I can see there's a tremendous amount of people here for public hearing, so we'll bypass that and ignore them and go to our scheduled items. Item number six on our agenda is approval of minutes from February 26, 2015 Planning Commission meeting. I hope all of you had the opportunity. Wait a moment before I get much further. Need to acknowledge Jeff Dodge and John Drake as voting members tonight. Okay, now, minutes. Has everybody read them? If they have, I would entertain a motion to approve them. Or if there are any changes beforehand.
Is it worth mentioning a typo?
You can say it.
Okay, under scheduled items five, Chandler Goodwin stated, he did site triangle, S-I-T-E. I think that's S-I-G-H-T.
Yes.
They actually have pretty significantly different meanings, so, yeah.
Okay.
I did say site.
And you can just approve them with that spelling correction.
I didn't hear what you said.
In the motion, just say approve with the
correction. Okay. I would entertain a motion now.
I move that the minutes of the February 26th Planning Commission meeting be approved with the spelling correction.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Minutes approval passed. Next item is review and recommendation on code changes to lot areas and width requirements for churches. What is this?
I can give you some background on this one. We had a gentleman call the city about, and he was interested in building a church. He's a pastor for a local church. It's not the predominant denomination in the area. And he looked at the code requirements for a church in our zone, and every zone where it outlines an area and width requirement for a church, which is the R1 11,000, R1 15,000, H1 zone, RR1 20,000, all of these zones require that a church be built on 2.5 acres and have at least 200 feet of width frontage. He looked at that and he said, I'm a congregation of 30 people. I don't need 2.5 acres. It got the ball rolling with some discussions with staff. And we thought, well, maybe this code is in place erroneously. So we sent an email to our attorney, Eric Johnson, asking him to kind of weigh in with an opinion on this. And he said that with that 2.5 acres, it could be considered to be somewhat arbitrary and capricious requirement for a church, especially when somebody it's clear that it would meet an LDS chapel size requirements. But for somebody that's has a congregation of about 30 members, 2.5 acres is maybe a bit excessive. So the thought was he recommended removing that requirement from the code completely. So those zones where the area and width requirements are listed for churches, we would take those out of the code. Now the churches would still be allowed in those codes. And as a church, let's just say for example, a church was being proposed, we would make sure that just like we would for any commercial building, that parking would be sufficient, that the area needed would be the area that was being proposed. Otherwise, we would have to say no. Obviously, we wouldn't want to have a church feeding 600 people on a quarter acre. That doesn't make sense. So that's kind of the background on this. We haven't had a discussion in this body about it, but it's a relatively straightforward matter. Is there any questions that you may have?
I have one question.
Yeah.
Where are they allowed? Are they? I haven't looked in the code. That's probably what you're looking at.
Where is this covered in the?
It's in the area and width requirements. So if you go to any, let's go to the R1 20,000 zone, which is.
Okay. So in each zone, there's a.
In each zone, it's listed out. So actually, let's just go to 4A if you have it. If you have your code book with you.
4A.
4A. 4A, and I believe it's dash 4. Yeah. 4A, 10-4A, dash 4. You see an area and width requirement, and it says, the minimum area, width, and depth requirements for a zoning lot shall be as follows. And it says, churches, 2.5 acres, 200 feet minimum width. So we looked at that and thought, this could be considered somewhat could be an exclusion for some people to build a church, which could be challenged to the city. So rather than going through a fight, we thought, why don't we just preempt this and take this code out if it's bad code?
Now, are they allowed in any
zone? They're allowed in every residential zone.
Every residential zone.
Yeah, and I believe in every, even in commercial. They are allowed in commercial because this church down here in the bottom of Cedar Hills Drive is in a commercial zone.
Churches are allowed.
So they are allowed in commercial.
Office, retail, and office. So two out of three.
I don't think they're in the neighborhoods. In the neighborhood retail, they're not allowed.
Right.
But the other two, the mixed use and the office retail, because the church that's down there on Cedar Hills Drive and 4600, that's part of the commercial zone.
So anywhere.
Pretty much anywhere, yeah.
Where did he anticipate putting this church?
This church was... Where was it?
Is he going to buy a house?
He was looking at a lot on Canyon Road. But I don't even know if that's even in the cards still. He may have moved on and said, you know what, I don't have the money, I don't have the time, I don't know what his reasoning is. But I would assume that the next time this comes up, we would want to have something in place that doesn't prevent them from doing something like this.
So the proposal is to just remove that.
Just take that line out. Yeah. And one of the thoughts I had was to, in the church definition, to just make sure that churches shall have, just change the definition of the churches in the code to say that churches shall have sufficient parking to be met on site.
Were they in one of the definitions?
I thought they were.
Can I shut this?
Turn out the
I think they could do it from the water tower. There'd be unlimited parking.
I see them in the definition.
I'm afraid.
So we'd have to add that.
It would either be adding it or in the area and width requirements. Add some language that states that churches shall have sufficient parking to meet the needs on site. Something to that effect.
Why don't we put it up by the water tower?
Would it be
parking up there?
Up by the water tower?
Yeah, there's a lot of parking up there.
You're right.
So what it seems you'd have to do. It seems you'd have to add. You'd have to quantify it more than that to be less arbitrary. I mean, if it, you know, a function of the square foot of the building would dictate how many parking spaces. You know what I'm saying? I mean, yeah. Otherwise, it's just arbitrary.
You could also just leave it completely
out,
which is what the original proposal was. I just thought there might need to be some clarification that that certain conditions needed to be met.
Well, any application to build a church would have to come.
Right, it would come to this body. So that you would have your say saying, look, we're looking at the size of your building. We can obviously see that you have X amount of people, but you don't meet that with the parking.
I'd say just take it out.
You're right. That could be addressed in this body as well as the city council.
But is there a requirement somewhere in our code about how many parking spaces they would have to have? X amount of cars per. Do we define them as a commercial building?
We don't define it as a commercial building, even though it is on that list. I don't believe it's because we don't just allow commercial buildings in single family residential zones.
Do we need?
I think, as far as I know, this is the only place that's mentioned.
It is only mentioned there, yeah.
Do we need to? I mean, somebody moves in. I mean, they could renovate a house.
Now, can you look something up for me? Is when it says conditional uses or permitted uses, does it list churches under permitted uses or conditional uses under the zone, the actual single family zone?
Tell me where to go. Residential. Church under permitted uses.
Otherwise, certainly our church. Where are we?
know, it seems like...
We're in the same church, I mean. We're in the same church, I mean.
Is this sunny, right?
Yeah, can you not...
It's an upper blind, so it has to wait like 5 minutes and it's going to go down.
If you came this way, if you came this way, you'd get out of it.
That's the one that's getting Jenny out of here.
That's better.
So I would entertain any ideas you may have on this.
My concern would be if someone bought a house.
Right.
And they decided they were going to turn it into a church.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't see anything. I mean, that's a permitted use.
It's a permitted use.
And without the limitations on the lot size, do we care if they do that?
The only thing I think about is parking.
It's just like it only affects people when they're parking in their front of their homes. So it really is parking.
Does the same parking conditions that we were putting on the that assisted living home that's over here on Canyon apply this? It doesn't apply because they have to have so much parking.
That was just for the commercial zone.
They also They also got the one over here on Canyon. They got a conditional use permit to operate as a commercial entity in a single family residential.
Right.
So those were conditions placed upon it as a part of their conditional use permit.
Okay.
Now that with the church being
a permitted use,
that's why I was getting at that. Because if it was a conditional use, you could say,
right,
we approve you on the condition that you meet sufficient parking.
I think the best thing to do would be to move it into a conditional use.
And one thing I guess I want to look on that is, can you move a church into a conditional use? I mean, when it's conditional use, that means that it's permitted. It just has conditions on it. Whereas a permitted use, it's just permitted.
Right. Well, I mean, right now, it's a permitted use, but it has to meet the condition of 2.5 acres mm-hmm. and 200 feet of frontage, which makes you, it kind of forces you to be on a large lot, which mm-hmm. means you're going to have plenty of room for
parking. In the case of the gentleman that I spoke with, it wasn't that family. Nobody showed up for any public hearing.
What are you guys doing?
Talk about churches.
Unless you want to.
In the case of the gentleman that I spoke with,
three scouts calling this week and they're supposed to be here.
He didn't come.
Nice weather. They're probably calling.
In the case of the gentleman that I spoke with, his congregation consisted of 30 people. So 2.5 acres seems
way too large.
The lot that he was looking at was about 1.2 acres, which would have completely met what his needs were. So in that case, this code could have been challenged as seen as, hey, this is really unfair.
But if you were to take my house and convert it into church and pave my backyard, you could have plenty of parking.
You could.
I don't know how excited the neighbors would be about it.
So, are you suggesting to move it into the conditional uses?
Well, I would hate to leave it in permitted use and then take out any requirement.
Because requirements, at that point, I think that's...
any house in town could be converted into a church. Mm-hmm.
Well, I like the idea because with having it as a conditional use, and I'd want to check legally if we can move it into a conditional use. That's something I'd want to look into. But if it's a conditional use, it's a use that's allowed, but there's certain conditions that can be placed on it to mitigate the impact on the neighbors, which whether that be traffic, noise, anything like that, just kind of the same discussions we've been having with Rosegate down there.
Now, let me ask this question. In order for those conditions to not be arbitrary and capricious, do we have to have some set of guidelines we're following, or is it a matter of common sense?
I believe that there are the standard impacts that they look at when it comes to land use. Okay. It's the traffic, it's the noise, it's the density, it's the parking, the things that really affect land use owners.
Now, there are churches that denominations other than the popular one that in this area that'll have 1,000 or 2,000. Parishioners. It's mm-hmm. not uncommon. Now,
so we wouldn't want them to meet at Commissioner Clement's house.
So you don't want to put them in 2.5 acres.
2.5 acres. In that case, 2.5 acres may not be big enough.
That's right. That's my point.
But so that's a minimum requirement too. So.
Well, that doesn't say minimum.
Well, it's a.
It says required.
It says minimum. It's minimum area, minimum width.
In the code, it says minimum on the table.
He's abbreviated it here.
He took the wrong words out.
So I mean. I just would hate to not have any, if it's a permitted use, they come and say, we're going to convert this house to a church and...
Yeah, I like this idea.
And I don't know, what can we do at that point? I don't see what we could do other than say, okay, have fun.
If we're going to remove the requirements...
I mean, there's no... They could set up a big sign. I mean, the sign ordinance doesn't apply. You know what I mean? I get nervous about just...
I agree with that. I agree with that.
Use like that. I wouldn't like want to shoot down the idea, but I think we would have to have some offer some. You know, maybe you need to look at more parking. Maybe you need to look at. I mean, mm-hmm. with a permitted use, we can't even do that. Really.
Yeah.
Well, signage,
parking on the front yard.
So let me ask you this: signage moving forward, special. We can.
You know, big neon sign with the.
How do you suppose? Do you want to have this to come back to the Planning Commission next month?
Well, we probably need to check and see if that's even
we can do that. We can do that. We can. So what I'm understanding right now is we remove the area width requirement and simply move churches from permitted use to conditional use.
Right.
Okay.
I wouldn't mind it if we looked at some of the neighboring communities to see if they have any similar requirements, what they've done.
Okay.
Maybe run it by Eric to make sure that this.
Yeah, that I have a note to do that. To
we're
just
not doing something that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we can't interfere with religion too
much. Does Alpine have another church?
What's that?
Does Alpine have another church, another denominational church? Somewhere off that farm.
I live in Pleasant Grove, and I drive by the little Baptist church that's there. And I mean, it can't be on any more than an acre. Right. But they don't have a whole large impact on the community there.
Right. Usually it's a nice neighborhood. Yeah. Just being from Ohio, we had them all over the place.
And I don't want it to act like we're.
If there is, I didn't know of it.
Well, that's why we're trying to get ahead of the curve here. So
I just think that if it's a permitted use, then we have.
So what we'll do is I'll draw up a new code, and we'll revisit this next month.
All right.
If everyone's okay with that.
This isn't the guy that wanted the Druid that wanted to build a temple, was it?
No temple.
That was in the paper.
No.
That happened up at Draper High School. They wanted to build a small pyramid. It was a small religious group that wanted to take and purchase the seminary property.
Wow.
And they wanted to build a small pyramid on it, and they felt they were well within their rights to outbid the church for the seminary property. And so everybody backed away from the whole seminary idea, and the property became part of the high school acreage. Yeah, so it can get a little different,
right,
than what we're used to.
You don't want that. So, okay, well, we'll revisit this. And
so at this point, we don't need a motion, do we? We're just going to
table.
Motion to table.
I'd entertain a motion to table.
I move we table item 7.
Here a second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, next item is...
Overruled, Don.
Thanks, Don.
Review recommendations on Zero Escape Code. We talked about this last time.
Yes, we did.
Okay.
That's what I'm studying.
Took the feedback that I got from the Planning Commission, and we are not requiring a landscape architect.
Thank you.
All we've done, let me just kind of go, we've only made some minor changes to kind of clean up some of the concerns I had with Zeroscape. We added under 10.5.27c on the memo that was sent out, you can see the new definition and code regarding Zeroscape. Under C, we added Zeroscape as being... under the term landscaping to make it a little more clear there. Under 1, irrigation system, the last sentence was added saying xeriscaped areas shall be watered only using drip trickle irrigation systems or other similar systems used to reduce water consumption. The thought there is if you install xeriscape and then put in if there is ever an incentive to do a xeriscape and you put it in and you just put in a regular irrigation system, it really defeats the purpose of xeriscape. So if you're going to do xeriscape, you shall be on a drip trickle system as part of an effort to conserve water. And then 2, we expanded the definition of xeriscape to state that it's a landscaping method that employs the use of drought-tolerant plants and techniques in order to conserve water to kind of bring out its purpose. We left in the native landscaping is not xeriscape provision. And yeah, so it's pretty simple. It's pretty we didn't change that much. I didn't get the sense from this body last time that you wanted to really dive into it and get all-encompassing code. So I just took care of some things that I thought were most pressing on my end, which especially was the irrigation drip use of the drip trickle system. Is there anything that you would like to see in the code that's not there?
Well, have you considered having a water plan?
A water plan?
Mm-hmm.
In what regard?
In regard to pressures and uses and pricing.
We talk about all of those things all of the time. We have.
I understand, but
when you're saying
you don't have a plan, you don't have a plan.
We have a plan. The city's done extensive studies. Actually, it's not even been the city. The city's contracted, I should say, to do extensive studies on our utility systems to show replacement schedules, to show what utility rates should be in order to maintain a savings fund to replace infrastructure when it wears out and to fund capital projects when they come up. So the city's looked definitely at the water plan. We've looked at and we've had many discussions on water conservation, and last year especially, we began our education campaign to really reach out to the community.
We actually
and
have a committee.
We have a committee. Yes, you're right. We have a committee.
Which could draft a plan.
Now, I'm kind of confused on what you mean
what
by a plan.
What a plan is?
I know what a plan is. I guess I'm confused on what you're looking for as part of the plan.
About water conservation
because the Water Conservation Committee came back with recommendations to the council that were implemented throughout the city. They were Jenny, can you help me with this? There was the sign that was put out last year, the waterometer. They wanted a newsletter sent out specifically about the water use during the summer irrigation. And Councilmember Reese typed that up and sent that out. There was ad campaigns throughout the city. What else was there?
Well, the Water Conservation Committee had a pretty comprehensive education campaign that we created the new website, the chwater.org.
We
had the outdoor signage letting the residents know of usage amounts, the water conservation information, and their final recommendation was to do the secondary water meters.
Yeah. That was their final recommendation, was that they said, you know, by the looks of it, the city's going to have to go to secondary water metering. And that was actually something that the city started exploring last year.
Yeah.
We've had discussions with contractors on pricing that out.
Well,
we're exploring it more this year.
Is more like a development plan or a commercial building plan or commercial site plan, where we have some guidelines. You can't be more than this. You have to have so much paved area for.
We have landscaping requirements in the code. So it's kind of the opposite of what you're saying. There's not a certain amount of your front yard needs to be asphalt or concrete. It's a certain amount of your yard needs to be grass. But where the city doesn't meter secondary water, and there haven't been any real restrictions on it, there's nothing that the city can do to
penalize anybody.
Well,
you're going to meter water, and you're going to have secondary restrictions on it, and you're going to have an inverted price schedule. That'll happen.
Eventually, but not right now. This is my opinion. I'm speaking as Chandler Goodwin, not of the city. I really think that at some point with the growth that's experienced in Utah, the state's going to come down and make all the cities meter their secondary water, just because water is a finite supply, and we're growing. You know, you can't just keep dumping water on your lawn.
It's a well-known fact, I suppose, that outdoor watering uses more water than indoor.
That's true.
Watering or the use of water indoors. And that's sometimes a factor of 10 or more. It's a huge difference, not a little difference.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, we're not even telling people what to encourage them in.
We actually have.
We could put it in the code.
We have. It's not in the code, and the reason it's not in the code is because our secondary water is not metered. There's no way for us to enforce that. I mean, if we put it in the code that you could use, you could water your lawn 20 minutes a day, every other day.
Still encourage them to use low-flow devices even in their houses.
But we do. And that's been, if you go back into the newsletter archive, I believe Councilmember Reese, I want to say that you or Mayor Gigi wrote about water conservation every single month for about 9 months last year.
Right, and if I'm thinking of moving in here, I do not go to the archives to find...
No, but that's an ongoing thing, and that's going to continue to be ongoing this next year. I don't imagine... I imagine our water situation is actually worse this year than it was last year, so I don't imagine that the city is going to change anything that it's doing as far as educating, doing an education campaign for residents. So, but this Xeriscape code is really just kind of a small part of the pie. It's one thing to have a water plan, but it's another thing to do things to encourage the residents to use drought-tolerant vegetation. So that's what we're trying to do here, is make it a little easier. And on the same time, say, okay, well, you can't just not landscape your front yard and call it good. Cedar Hills is a wonderful community for the very reason that the yards are maintained, that the houses are nice. It's a beautiful community, and we want to keep it that way. But if it was just left to be native, it would quickly change. So I think it's up to the city council to come up with incentives, possibly, for those who want to use Xeriscape methods. But we want to make sure that when those incentives are put in place, that there's a good code to back up the Xeriscape in the community. So, but having a water plan, it's my opinion that the city's actually done a really good job as far as educating the residents. I can compare it just to the city that I live in, Pleasant Grove, and see how much information I got versus the amount of information that was sent out from here, and I can tell you it's very different on a different scale.
Have we ever sent out a list or in our newsletters or that suggested the types of plants that would be Xeriscape? I mean, I have no idea if I wanted to plant my front yard.
I don't know that
we
have. That'd be an interesting newsletter article.
I mean, that might be an idea to list some items which are good.
Even if it's just a link,
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And is the city going, as they are building more, any city buildings or any further city landscaping, are they going to use Xeriscaping
more? That's what we talked a little bit about last time.
Yeah.
I actually think that that's a good idea for the city to do, and when the cases come up that the city has that option, I would say that that is something that we look at. For example, I don't know if you've seen on the south entrance on Canyon Road to Cedar Hills, we just put in a new sign. It was an Eagle Scout project there. It's a little red sandstone sign, and it's got a rock base around it. I'm on the Parks and Trails Committee, and we've been having discussions about a day of service. And one of the projects that they came up with was to beautify that corner. Now, rather than putting in an irrigation system there and planting flowers and plants and bushes, they're going to do decorative rocks simply because, A, it's easier to maintain for the city, but also you don't use that irrigation. So I think that the city's needs to be very conscientious of its own land, especially park strips, medians, areas where they're high visible and people see the city watering.
That was one thing we talked about last time, I believe, was the idea that maybe you take one of the roundabouts and Xeriscape it, maybe get a landscape architect and just kind of, so people can drive by and say, yeah, those weeds look pretty cool.
If they have examples, alternative example.
But I mean, just because I've been up to the one in West Jordan. What do they call it? I don't know. They've got the conservation
gardens
district. Yeah, the gardens. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty cool to walk through and see different styles and stuff. I don't have the energy to do it, but it was nice to look at. But I'm just saying, if one of the roundabout was done nicely, then people would say,
The one that comes to mind is this one out here. The city has the one down in Cedar Hills Drive, but I believe that one.
That's not Xeriscape.
It's not Xeriscape. No, it's not Xeriscape. No. It's got a fountain in it, but it doesn't work. But that's kind of the marquee roundabout, and I know that the Parks and Trails Committee has discussed redoing that one, but not with Xeriscape.
Right.
But I think this one out here would be an excellent candidate for just that purpose. So
I mean,
that's something I can definitely bring up with the Parks and Trails Committee.
Because if someone, if there's examples that are easy to see, then people might be more.
Yeah.
And label the plants or the trees. Put a little label on it so people can drive up, cut out, see what they were or are.
Kids have some plants.
And then go buy them.
or plant them in their own yard.
Or have a master plan on the city website where you can look at what they are.
Show them the landscape.
Because if you leave little plaques, they may disappear.
Do we have a zero escape ordinance now?
Yeah. But it's basically 10, 5, what's 7, there.
10.5.27.2.
It's but it, all it really says is that native is not zero escape. That's pretty much all it says.
Necessarily.
Yeah.
I was just going to mention one other thing. We have those free gardening classes that start in a few weeks that will be happening here every month for the whole, I think, through September.
I think all through the summer at least.
Yeah.
This rec center.
The city's been in touch with ACE. Is it IFA or ACE? I don't know. But they're going to be doing gardening classes, starting with how to prepare your soil for grass. I think a lot of people, the common misconception is, I just need to dump more water on my grass and it's going to turn green, when really it's the chemical makeup of the soil. So there's classes on gardening, soil. There's classes on soils, there's classes on...
We have rocks.
Say that again?
So we don't have soil, we have rocks.
It's only you guys on the hill, the rest of us have soil.
Clay.
I don't even...
Clay. There's classes there in order to kind of do the same promotion of water conservation. So that's something new that the city's going to be doing on top of what we started doing last year. So we're always looking for ideas, and I think the Zero Escape Roundabout is actually a really good idea to kind of show people what
like
it could be.
This ordinance, which we're going to turn my time into, is a place for the city to express its feelings about water conservation.
Mm-hmm.
And a paragraph that is wonderful words. It wouldn't hurt.
Where would you like to see that paragraph?
Right in the preamble to the particular section.
So do you want to see a paragraph on...
The city believes that conservation is very important, and in the future will become more important, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, right. So, okay. So do you have the code out, Don?
No.
Okay. 10.5.27A under landscaping is intent. Is the intent of this section to ensure a timely installation of landscaping within the front yard areas of residential lots occupied by a dwelling? In a water conserving manner. Would that make happy? I mean, if you want to put something in there, that's the place, because that's the intent of the landscaping section of the ordinance.
That would be where it went.
That would be where it went.
Well, that's a good place for it.
But nobody looks at this but us. and from what I can tell here, none of us have looked at it very much either, except Chandler. So, I mean, I don't have any problem with putting it in there. I think the newsletters will probably be more effective.
Possibly newsletters, having the city council adopt some language in a resolution, and then putting that out to news media, just kind of bringing it up. I think more people would see it in that way than if it's in the code, hidden in the code somewhere.
I mean, I
agree with you.
I don't have a problem, you know, adding some language to the intent.
Well, I know the ordinances are to deal with people who people complain about, but.
Right.
You're right.
They're not there for us to go down.
So in that intent, is there language, like a couple words that you want to add to what is already being proposed to say to encourage certain water behaviors?
I can name that song in 5 words. That's what we have here.
Yeah.
Is there a proposal for that?
Occupied by a dwelling. You could add some language about it. The city encourages the use of water conserving landscape design. I don't know, something, you know, but I don't, like I said. Going back to the agenda item, I think the code changes, the changes you made to Section C here will work.
Okay.
Or adequate.
Okay.
If we want to add something else, then. That's another discussion.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm happy to add stuff, but to the topic at hand.
Any more questions on the current proposal here? If not, I would entertain a motion to recommend the proposed code defining zero escape and modifying City Code 10- whatever it happens to be.
I recommend, or I move that we recommend to City Council to review Section 10-5-27, Section C of the code, and adopt the language provided in the agenda.
Any further discussion? No, I need a second.
I'll second the motion.
Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor signify by aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion passes. On to the next item. Is there a next item?
Zone changes.
So recently, we had a gentleman who came to the city and wanted to build his own south end of town. Wanted to build a lot where there wasn't a lot. Now, he went to because the density wasn't there, we couldn't approve it. We couldn't even bring it to this body. He appealed the decision and went to the Board of Adjustment. Now, he met with the Board of Adjustment before the Board of Adjustment twice, and both times it was a hung jury. But the problem was that the place that he wanted to build his home was in the RR 120,000 zone, meaning that a single-family residential home needed to have at least 20,000 square feet in order to be considered a conforming lot. Now, the land that he was proposing to build his house on was about 15,000, so it didn't meet the code, so I couldn't approve it. So we went to the Board of Adjustment, and they couldn't come to a resolution either. Now, the thought came up to us, well, as part of the discussion there, he looked at other homes in the RR 20,000 zone and said, well, these other homes, they're well under the 20,000 square foot requirement. How are they legal lots? And the story behind that is when property is annexed into the city, it's annexed in, and the default zone that it's placed in is the RR 120,000. And these homes were along Canyon Road, and so it's in that area that's hodgepodge, Cedar Hills, Pleasant Grove. So a lot of these homes were just defaulted in as R 120,000.
Wait, 120,000 or 20,000?
20,000. It should be 120,000, I thought.
What's that?
It's the purple zone. On Canyon Road.
Okay, R1, 20,000.
I think it says R1, but it's actually RR in the code.
Oh, my math's not real. R1, I think it says, yeah, okay, so RR1, 20,000.
So it's okay. Rural residential, one lot, 20,000 square feet. That's the definition there. So the thought came up, well, these other homes, they're legal non-conforming lots. They don't meet the square footage requirement, but they were grandfathered into the city as RR 120,000. So the thought came up, well, why don't we do zone changes? Because we have this R1 15,000 zone, which is nowhere to be found in the city, but we have the code already intact in the code book. We have this R1 15,000 zone, and all of these homes would meet the R1 15,000 requirements. So the area I'm speaking of, if you look at this map, this is this dark purple here is the RR 120,000. The area I'm talking about is the southern end here where it's purple down here. So we would take those homes and we'd move them to the the R1 15,000, being a single-family residential lot, 15,000 square feet.
What page is that on? Jeff?
This is right in front of
You should have a zoning map right at the first, very beginning of Title 10 in your book.
I knew I'd seen it.
You should.
Should be the keyword there.
A little tiny one.
But then we started looking at the zoning map as a staff, and we thought there might be certain other areas that need zone changes. This hasn't been looked at for 5 years. Why don't we take a peek at the zoning map and see if there's anything that needs attention? And here's what we found. There's land the very, very south end of town here. This very tip piece that the city owns, that's designated as a park eventually. So we want to put that in the public facilities zone. Same thing with this weird strip of land behind the Oak Road, north and west over there. as well as a park down on Doral, or is it Doral? No, it's Cedar Run. So, excuse me. Same thing on Doral, up in the Cedars East. Designate that as a public facilities zone. Also, making the city's 9 acres be commercial would be a zone change that we would explore. And those were the big ones. So there's no real decision tonight. We just wanted to kind of test the waters and see what the opinion of this body was as far as doing some zone changes there.
That's it. Wait, so isn't on this map we're showing the city's 9 acres as SC1? Is that not correct?
The one I'm just looking at is not.
But this mine's older. Mine's 2006. This is 2008, and
that's the 9 acres.
So that's the Jacobs, the unannexed.
That would still need to be designated as SC1.
But when we annexed that, didn't that come in as SC1?
It did. We just want to show it on our map, though.
Oh,
so that's not a zone change.
That's not a zone change. You're right. So that's recent map that I was looking at.
You're wanting to change them, but what are they changing from and to?
20,000 to 15,000.
20,000 to 15,000. Now,
how come 15,000?
You mentioned 15, a bunch of different ones.
15,000 is in the code book. There's a section for it, but there's nowhere currently in the city that is R1 15,000.
That's why we can't find it.
That's why you can't find it, because it's not there.
Of zone changes.
So rather than doing this multiple times, we thought, why don't we just do this all at once? So now the
R120 to R115 is just one of the ones you're proposing.
Yes,
right?
Correct. That was the one that instigated the discussion.
So right, how many down? Because I'm in the R.
You're in R120,000.
120,000, but I think our neighborhood all meets that.
Most of them, a lot of them do.
I think most.
And there's a lot that don't actually.
Actually, there are that whole one side of that one street is one.
Now the one hang up, and I think there's a solution to this. The one hang up from going from R120,000 to R115,000 is the issue of large animal rights. In the R120,000, they're allowed to have large animal units. In the R115,000, they're not. Now I think that you could allow large animal units in the R115,000 zone. And that being said, that's because of the way we've defined large animal units. One large animal unit is the equivalent of two horses or two cows, so that'd be one large animal unit. And one large animal unit requires 10,000 square feet of what's called a livestock area. So it's not your front yard, it's not your driveway, it's designated as livestock area. So if you're a home that's in the R1, in the newly established R1 15,000 zone, and you have a 2-acre lot that used to have large animal rights, your lot's still the same. And if you have horses on it, if you add large animal rights into the R1 15,000 zone, those same requirements remain. If you have 5,000 square feet of designated agricultural area or livestock area, you can have one horse. Those requirements would stay the same. So we would want to add, in addition to changing the zones, we'd want to add large animal rights into the R1 15,000 zone.
Okay, but you brought up an interesting point that triggered something different. So
okay.
It's a little bit different from large animal rights. If they have a 2-acre lot now with a couple of horses on it, they get rid of the horses, can they subdivide the lot?
They can subdivide the lot right now.
Get rid of the horses.
Well,
get rid of the
horses. Well, I mean, as long as they don't subdivide it to 20,000.
What if they have a 30,000 square foot lot? Right
yeah.
Now?
They could subdivide it into two.
They could,
not now.
Not now.
But under the new.
Under the new one, they could.
That's my concern.
That's where I was going, is how many unused lots.
Looking at the potential,
in my neighborhood there's several that could then.
Your neighborhood's not in the discussion as far as being zone change.
Start changing them, and pretty soon everybody's going to want to change.
But we're looking at, if you look at the zoning map, we're looking at just
that
the south area town. Now I can count like three areas that could subdivide on this zones. And one of them has come to the city wanting to subdivide. So it's not a huge change. The other two, and they're all about 2.5-3 acre lots, so they're big lots.
So we're looking at 9 units.
Despite what no one thinks.
3-3 acre lots. If
yeah.
Broke them into 1 acre.
Probably
lots,
when you put in the road and the improvements, yeah, about 3 units, maybe 4,
maybe
but 4
four.
Is a real stretch. 3. So. So like I said, we're not really proposing anything tonight. Well, I guess we're proposing. We're not asking for it. We're just kind of testing the water, seeing what your opinion is about going forward with this.
I think that's a good idea.
I don't. Yeah, my concern is in if you start changing.
I guess we can look and see how many lots would actually meet the be able to be subdivided and show that. I think that's an interesting question.
In this section, but I think he's worried about it rolling into other others.
Well,
areas.
Yeah, I mean it'd have to be it'd have to go through the process and stuff. I just looking at this south section of the R1 20,000. It looks like there's some lots that probably could be sliced up pretty good.
There's a couple. You're right.
And make a flag
now,
a flag lot.
So this spot right here. This white spot that looks like it's not in Cedar Hills, but it's actually in Cedar Hills now. I have an old map here printed out. That's on Mahogany Lane. All of those lots are already 15,000 square feet, about a third of an acre.
But they were in Pleasant Grove when
they were in Pleasant Grove, so they moved in and they became just the default R1 20,000.
But that's common. I mean, that's common. They're grandfathered in, and that's.
Yeah. So right now, it would the nice thing about it was it would change those lots from legal non-conforming lots to legal conforming lots.
But what does that matter?
It doesn't really matter a whole lot to them, but to this gentleman, it would allow him to put his house on a spot where it looks like there should be a house. So it matters a lot to this gentleman.
Well, then he comes in as a non-conforming lot.
We can't create a non-conforming lot. Okay. If it was in the R1 15,000, it would be a legal conforming lot. Otherwise, he can't do it. So with the issue of animal rights, it's giving animal rights to the R1 15,000. It's not going to give anyone animal rights that otherwise didn't already have that, and it's not going to take away those that do have it. If you have the livestock area, you're still allowed to have that. If you don't have that, if you don't meet that requirement, you still can't have a horse. So that's the nice thing about the way the livestock code's written.
We would give animal rights, but they would be reduced from what a R1 20,000 lot could have.
I think you keep it the same because right now on the R1 20 on the 20,000 square foot lots, you have to have for two horses, you have to have 10,000 square feet of agricultural area.
Livestock area.
You wouldn't reduce that to 8,000 for the 15,000 square feet. You would keep it at the same. And if they have a 5,000 square foot area designated as a home, which is, or even a 10,000, which is a quarter acre, and then a 5,000 square foot area for a home.
That's not the only factor in the large animal units. There's the other factor.
Which is that?
That is all barns, sheds, coops, pens, hutches, paddocks, stables, corrals, or similar structures used for the enclosure, housing, or confinement of animals in a large animal unit shall be located not less than 100 feet to an existing dwelling on an adjacent lot.
I would keep that the same.
Right. But I'm saying that would, on a 15,000 square foot lot, that would pretty much preclude.
Yeah, well, that's your point.
That's my point. That's exactly my point. Is that if you have a 15,000 square foot lot, it's already very difficult to have a horse on that. However, if I'm on one of those 2.5 acre lots and I have horses, and you're taking me to a zone where I can't have horses,
no, I agree.
But I already have a barn. You know, it's not an issue at that point because you already meet the code.
Right.
It's once you subdivide, can I have horses with my new three lots?
That gets to the question that where I think we need to talk about, because that's so right now. There's lots that, well, I mean the 2.5 acre lot could be subdivided.
Yeah, okay. Or even right now it could be subdivided.
Two and a half acre
lot could be subdivided easily right now into five lots because it's 20,000 square feet. So it's a half acre.
Yeah, so you could do five lots. Maybe so, well, with roads and stuff, you'd probably do four. But if you go to our 15,000, then you're adding your density. And I'm not saying we don't want to do that. I'm just saying we need to think about that because
That's a good point. That's a good point. You're right. You are adding a measure of density there, On the whole picture, I think you're looking at maybe, like I said, three lots total.
Yeah, well,
I'd like to answer your question, though, in the next meeting or if we ever discuss this again on which lots could possibly be subdivided.
Well, if we could get like I've got the older map, and if we could get it, or maybe on the projector or something where we can zoom in and kind of look at this area so we can kind of get a better feel.
Or else get some modern maps.
While we're on that subject, I'm going to take whoever has a code book here tonight so I can update it for you. Because I put the word out when I need them updated, but I don't always get them.
No.
But I'll take them.
Let's go on my notes.
She puts all your notes back.
Holly's very thorough.
She did for me.
No, I don't. So anyway, I'm not.
No, I think you raised some good concerns.
There's some issues we need to talk about and make sure we're okay with before we go. Because changing zoning in my mind is a pretty significant thing.
It is. That's.
I mean, it's with people. You know.
It affects people.
It does. That more so than most anything we do here. It has the potential to affect people.
Yeah. So I think that it's something we'll get some answers for, and I think we can have another discussion about it. But I guess back to my original question, is this something that you're okay with us looking into and pursuing?
Well, the public facility stuff has to be done, so we just got to do that.
That was kind of just the side, like, well, let's just do this all at the same time.
That's housekeeping.
But there's a process then we have to go through.
Yeah. Public hearings. I mean, there's public hearings, there's notifications. Notice, yeah. I mean, we have to notify 300 feet circumference around, and we, as a courtesy notice to other cities, sign on the lot. So, I mean, it's a pretty involved process. It's not, and that's why exactly why we're having a discussion tonight, because I don't want to go through all that in order to you guys say we don't like this.
Well, and we're not. When you say
you're not saying yes, but let's talk about it.
You're talking about like neighborhoods that already exist that are.
Yeah, everything has to be noticed.
It's not like an empty lot that wants to change.
No, we send a letter to each affected property and 300-foot circumference around that property. So with us saying, well, let's look at every public facility, let's look at all throughout the whole city, we're talking about a lot of notification.
A lot of work for you guys.
Yeah. So before we do that work, I wanted to...
Yeah, sure. Be sure that we don't end up spot zoning.
No, we're not. We don't want to create...
Someplace other than that in the city.
We don't want to create islands... I guess we are creating islands with public facilities, but that's inevitable because there's not just one big side of the city that's a public facility. But we do want to designate it. So, for example, this kind of weird-looking parcel behind Oak Road, that's not city-owned property. However, the city has intentions of eventually buying that property and putting in some sort of park or walkway through there. It's privately owned right now, and the person that bought it on a tax lien for pennies on the dollar and wants to put a home on it. However, that land...
There's no access.
But even more than that, when you look at the original plat for Cedar Hills, I mean, it's on an old... Looks like it's on papyrus. It's so old. It's dedicated open space. You can't put stuff there.
Where is this? I guess I don't know where Oak Road is.
It's this funny shaped parcel, right? It's weird. I don't know what the printer is doing on here, so you can't find the house on
it. I wonder if I can show you.
You can feel my eyes are getting bad.
No, that's, I guess you can see
okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah?
It's this right here.
It's like Oak Road West and Oak Road.
Right there.
What's
that? So it's this right there.
Zone
R1.
R111.
But if you look at the plat, it is dedicated open space. So.
City wants to do something with it.
Isn't there a gully?
You would think so. And then back up the hill to the road.
Isn't it just behind the those four or five houses?
Isn't that pretty steep, though?
Yeah, there's not a lot. The city can't turn it into a soccer park, but we can put like a trail going through there connected.
Is it greater than 30%? Oh, it's not in the hillside zone.
It's not in 30. It's probably over 30%.
It's not the H1, so it doesn't.
It's pretty steep.
That doesn't fall in, though, if it's not in the H1, though, does it?
No.
Okay.
But with it being dedicated open space, we can't give it density where it's been turned over to be preserved as nature. Right. So.
When was that?
19. When was that plat sign, Colleen? Do you remember?
Which one?
The really old one you guys know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What year was the city incorporated?
It was in 77.
It was 76, I think it was.
So was that a
landowner that did it? How did that?
When that subdivision, right there in the center of town, was approved, it was a county land, and it was approved by the County Planning Commission, and that land, that weird shaped piece, was dedicated as open space during that approval.
So how did a private... Right.
How did he buy it and then want to
buy it? I don't know. Who did he buy it from? Who didn't pay the taxes?
I don't know if that land was ever turned over to the county. So if that land was never turned over to the county, it was held by the developer, and then that person just didn't pay taxes on it, got sold in a tax auction, could have been sold to anybody.
Right.
And then that person buys the land and comes to the city saying, I want to put a house on this.
But he knows it's open, dedicated open space.
They don't really like it when I tell them that it's zoned public. It's going to be a public facility and it's an open space, but because they say it's my land, I own it. But when you go back to the old plat, it's obviously open space. Yeah. So.
You do your research before you go buy the cheap land. It's cheap for a reason. So yeah, okay. I know what you're talking about now.
Okay.
Didn't even think about that.
Are there any other questions you may have?
So you'll come back with us next time with some suggestions and ideas.
Yeah, I like the idea of putting it up on a projector so you guys can see it.
I just like to see that land a little on a little better where we can actually do some finger waving and maybe put a scale on it so we know.
Well, if you can get internet here, I mean, you can just bring it up on Google Earth or whatever.
Well, we have internet. We can do this. So we want to see, for your question, we want to see a list of lots that could be subdivided. Mm-hmm. I think it's a good thing to look into.
The Pro is free now.
I know.
It's awesome.
You want to see a projector with the map?
It'll take a year.
Is there anything else that you'd like to see when we discuss this next time?
What's that?
Is there anything else that you'd like to see when we discuss this next time?
I just want to be clear as to what these various parcels are currently zoned as and what we're proposing to
And what kind of effect, if they all fit in the 15,000, then it'd kind of be like, well, it's not, doesn't have the potential affecting base, so it's kind of a no-brainer. But when now subdivisions can occur differently, then I think we need to look at it.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Next item. Discussion on general plan survey. Is that in relation to the general plan?
It is.
That the committee has been working on?
Yeah, I think that was the last memo.
There's no memo. Yeah, there's no memo on this one. I just want to discuss this real fast. As part of the general plan committee, they wanted to do a survey and they want to get input from all the stakeholders in the city, meaning you guys. They want to get input from all of the other committees and boards that the city has, where you guys are involved and you have your ear to the ground and you kind of know what's going on in the city. They wanted to get your input, and because the general plan deals a lot with land use, transportation, housing, parks, recreation. It deals with a lot of things. And it kind of gives the overall 35,000-foot view of the city rather than the code where it gets down into the weeds. It kind of sets out the vision for the city. What I'm going to be sending you is a survey, and we're kind of nearing the end stages of it being done. And it looks like a really big survey because I've got extra pages here that aren't actually part of it. But it's probably about a 5 to 8 minute survey, just asking questions. There's general demographic questions like, how long have you lived in Cedar Hills? How many are in your household? What's your age? It's an anonymous survey. And then we want you to rate certain activities and services in the city. Tell us why you live in Cedar Hills, and then we go through and we ask you questions regarding land use in the city. We talk about housing in the city. We talk about parks, trails, recreation, economic development, and finally, environmental protection in the city. These were the items that the General Plan Committee felt were important and needed feedback from the community on. We're going to send this out to the boards and the commissions and get your input, and then we're going to open up the survey to the residents in general and try to get as much feedback as we can. So I'll be sending this out to you in email form, just if you could fill it out and scan it and send it back to me or drop it off at the city office. I'd appreciate it. So look for that in the email sometime. And if you want a hard copy, we can print one out for you, and you can come to the city office and do it when it's ready, so you don't have to go through all the trouble of scanning it and bringing it back or mailing it or whatever.
Have you talked about how you're getting it out to the general public?
Yeah, we're going to go straight to all of the boards and commissions and propose it to them. But we want to do something where we use MailChimp or something like that, where we have a server where but the city actually has a lot of email addresses for the residents. I think it was like 65% of the residents. We have their email address. So we would email them out a link to take the survey online, whether that's through Qualtrics or SurveyMonkey, some online survey where they can fill out the information and send it back. Now, the city pays every other year, the city pays for a decision survey, and last year Dan Jones did it. And they go through and they take out, they show you the statistically relevant things and kind of dissect the information for you. We're not getting into it that deep here. We kind of just want to get a general view of how the residents feel about certain aspects of the city. So it really is a high level survey. So pretty quick. So look for that. When you get it, like I said, please fill it out and send it back.
We have any reports from our committee?
We talked last time about setting up either a separate meeting or a subcommittee to talk about the guidelines.
Yeah, I actually have a couple things I'd like to talk about. That having a meeting specifically to discuss the commercial guidelines and maybe nail that down a little bit. If that meeting could be held sometime in, I think, May, where we give you time to prepare for it, so you've read through it and made changes and notes, and we can all come prepared to the table, and that's the only thing on the agenda. That would be great. What are your thoughts on that?
Yes.
That would be better.
Yeah. And then if we can do it all that night and meet for 2 hours and discuss it and get it done, that would be great.
Sounds good.
Okay. The other thing we discussed was this morning came up during executive staff that on Thursday nights this building is becoming increasingly hectic and busy beginning. I don't know if you heard the operetto earlier, but there's a lot of stuff going on here on Thursday, and it looks like that's going to be expanding. One of the things that we thought of was, what are the possibilities of moving Planning Commission to a Tuesday night on the off council, on the fourth Tuesday instead of the fourth Thursday? Gives you an excuse.
I'll just bring them with me. How's that?
That's fine. We'll start having the pledge. They can do it.
What about going back to our comfy old chairs up at this?
Yeah, where are those? I'll have a talk with...
Up at the...
Well, usually they... Building. Do you always sit on these chairs, or do they ever wheel in the other chairs for you?
Once in a while.
Well, they want us to stay awake, so...
I'll make sure they wheel in the chairs.
No.
Unacceptable.
Because we used to meet, you know, at the phone.
Well, I mean, that's the other thing, is if we want to keep it on Thursdays, that's fine. We may just be back at the Public Works building in that room.
Which is fine if no one shows up.
That's what I think. Like, tonight it would have been just fine.
For doing the guidelines meeting, that might be a nice place. We're sitting around a table instead of it.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good idea. Let's have that there. Let's have that there. But I mean, I brought up the fact that that's great and all, but like for tonight when there's not really anything too crazy on the agenda, but if there's a public hearing for Rosegate,
you're right.
That's going to be hot.
Or zoning. Have enough chairs here.
Or zoning. That'll be another night that gets some people out.
We've already noticed that for the year, we're using these.
So they got to be here.
Can't we hold a special meeting though in that building? And so like for the general plan or for the general or the commercial guidelines, we could do a special one off.
As long as it's in Cedar Hills boundaries, yeah.
Okay. So let's plan on doing that one over there. So it sounds like we have to stay in this building for the remainder of the year.
Well, how about the conference room back there?
Oh, and to change the day, you got to renotice too. So
yeah, no, I think which leads me to my next thing, which is next month. Can we plan on Planning Commission on the 19th, on the 16th, instead of the week after? Is it the 22nd?
23rd.
Let's see. What do you want? The 16th.
The 16th. It's the third Thursday.
It would have been the 30th. It's the last Thursday.
Though. It's the fourth Thursday, though.
Fourth is the 23rd.
So it'll be 23rd. We want to move Planning Commission next month from the 23rd to the 16th.
Scheduled on the 23rd. In May. Are you talking about May?
I'm talking about April. Okay. Sorry, April.
You're right. 23. You're gonna move it to the 16th.
The 16th. What are your thoughts on that?
You have.
I'll have to move that one.
I'm just curious as to why.
Availability of myself.
Ah, oh, see, Chandler.
Sorry, I'm going to mention the works there. And that's a big night. And the reason I asked that is that's a big night. We're going to have final approval for Lakeview Trails, and we're going to have the preliminary discussions for
Rosegate.
Will we have this room?
Yes, we will have to have this room.
Yeah.
We'll also have the comfy chairs. I'll make sure of it.
There's only six.
There's only six?
I have no problem with the 16th.
I'm fine.
There's like seven or seven. David sits in one. Yes, he does.
Oh, yeah, Joe 16th.
Sounds like it works.
16th.
Okay, so we'll, okay. We'll plan on the 16th. I just want to make sure, we wanted to make sure we'd have a quorum here. So, I mean, if moving the dates in
Dorothy.
From Thursday to Tuesday, that would be the meeting where we would reapprove a new agenda or new schedule. No, we're talking the rest of the year.
I have no problem with the Tuesday.
So is that the consensus? Tuesday is Tuesday's okay?
It's fine. I'm not meeting limits anymore.
Is that okay, Tuesday?
Either one. Sure.
I'll make it work.
Okay. All right, we'll look into that. Okay, that's all I have.
I would entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Do I hear a second? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Steve.
Don't. Steve, you just need to tone it up.